Good evening, Seattle, Washington, and those places between here and Bellingham, Everett and Spokane, those places close to the Canadian border, and those places that border with my heart, those places that are a borderline connection to the part of my heart that still feels love. Do you feel love this holiday season? I can hear the Christmas love in the darkness of the night as the dogs howl and chase us down the street of our own pain. It's a grand love, the love of the Flimbus juice and the street protein. It's December the 23rd, 2019, people. A day before Christmas Eve, also known as Festivus. A Festivus for the rest of us, right? But that's some kind of made-up bullshit, isn't it, too? That's right, people. Yeah, it's around about 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as if that matters. I don't think it matters. Time and space are unified across the ancient ether. The ether bonds between all the points and the multiplicity of the infinite space-time gamma plane. Within the gumbus of all the juices that connect particles to atoms and atoms making molecules, you'll find within the gumbus the ancient juices and oils that I sell for $55.95 a gallon on my website. You can buy it, the ancient oils and greases that connect everything together. It's how you stay healthy in 2020, baby. Listen to me, baby. So I went to Uncle Ike's today. I know that sounds completely unexpected. Dan, why would you go to Uncle Ike's? Well, I had to go grocery shopping. I had to pick up some green vegetables, and today I picked up some train wreck from, you know, Northwest Cannabis Solutions. I was happy about the purchase. You know, their Legends line is pretty good. Their price point is pretty cheap. Their Jesus OG and their other stuff, the Purple Crack, Train Wreck, Blue Dream. I like the Blue Dream they have. Blue Dream's pretty good. You want to buy me something for Christmas? Get me an ounce of Legends Blue Dream. Yeah, who's going to do that? Nobody's going to do that. No one's going to get me an ounce of Blue Dream for Christmas. That's like a Christmas miracle. That would be a Festivus miracle. If some dude came to my door with an ounce of Legends Blue Dream from Uncle Ike's, that would be a Festivus miracle par excellence. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Not in Little Saigon. You know, a tree might grow in Brooklyn, but you ain't gonna find no free ounces of weed in Little Saigon. I went to Uncle Ike's today, the one off of 23rd and Union. I was taking the bus there, and I have to take two buses. The first bus driver picks me up, and he's driving his merry way, but he sees a girlfriend in a parking lot near an AM PM, so he slows down and stops. She's checking her phone. The bus driver wastes 45 seconds of my time thinking he's gonna score with some chick pulling out of the driveway at AM PM. She's checking her phone. He smiles and waves at her. She waves. She's not gonna date him. She's got a real man at home. That's who she was talking to, you fuck. But the bus driver drives on. I get off at my stop and I watch my second bus roll away. If I'd been there a little earlier, if the bus driver hadn't just, parked the fucking bus for the girl at the fucking AM PM, who wasn't even pulling out, she was just checking her fucking phone, I might have got my second bus, but instead I had to stand in the cold. It was monstrous. I stood in the cold for 15 minutes today on my way to Uncle Ike's. I waited there on that corner near Broadway in Seattle, staring at the Gronkus freaks. I wondered, how long can a person live if they're staring down their own sadness? How many people walk these streets? They're just filled with anger. Filled with disgust, filled with the rolling pain of yesteryear. They're filled with the madness. They're filled with crack cocaine. Filled with crack cocaine, baby, walking Broadway. I get on my second bus. I get on my second bus and we make a couple stops as the gawkers and the gormless freaks, the rectangle starers and all the zombies of Union, all of them walking aimlessly because they got no fucking hope. I get off at the 22nd Street and I walk my way. I walk my way to the corner where I'll cross Union and 23rd, across from Uncle Ike's Glass and Goods. Good old-timey pothead glass and goods, like your old grandpa used to have, when he got back from Vietnam. Grandpa, you know how angry he was? Yeah, he was pretty fucking pissed off, buddy. So he got himself some weed back in the day. But this isn't his place, okay? This isn't a head shop. This is a corporate structure of obedience called Lassen goods. So I go up to the fucking Uncle Ike's and I pull out my fucking passport. I carry my passport wherever I go these days, motherfuckers. I show them my passport, and as I'm standing in line, because keep in mind, even though weed is legal, they can't use the banking system, and buying it still feels like what it must have been like, I wouldn't know, going to a methadone clinic. So calling it legal is kind of a bit of a Potemkin, kind of a ideological bullshit thingy. It's legal in the sense that the government of Washington State is made up of, you know, cowards. It's called 10th Amendment, baby. If Washington State wanted to refute and rebuke the federal bullshit around marijuana, it's called the 10th Amendment. This is literally a perfect case example. But have the liberal Democrats of Washington State ever fucking done this? I hear crickets in the distance, yeah. So please, please, when you think of Washington State as liberal or open-minded or whatever the fuck you think it is, note this. The war party rules here, the Death Star Party. If you're not a member of the Death Star Party, you're not going to do well here in Seattle. Because the Death Star's awesome, meow. Anyways, so I was standing in line, and a woman ahead of me was talking about her lactose intolerance, and I was concerned. She was talking about the fact that she can't have ice cream, so her girlfriend, so I infer she's lesbian, her girlfriend says, well, why don't we try Frogurt? Like it's a new thing. And he said, well, she said, yeah, but is Frogurt organic? And it's like this other woman she's talking to says, you know what? I think it is. Well, that's nice. Yeah, there's this new place off of First Avenue. It sells it. It sells this special artisanal Frogurt. And everyone says it's really good for you. Everyone says it's really tasty and it's filled with enzymes. Everyone says that if you try this new Frogurt, it'll change your life. So I get up to the bud tender. I know what I want. I want Blue Dream. And she says, no, we don't have your fucking Blue Dream. But you know what you can try? Purple train wreck. You can try that, motherfucker. Now, does she literally say that? Well, maybe not so much. But that's how I translate her millennial bullshit in my head. I said, listen, lady, I'm almost dead. When you get to this point in your life, the one fringe benefit of being here is you don't have to give a fuck about nothing nohow. Especially if you're a drifter. I was looking forward to the Blue Dream, baby. And you offer me this dreck called Trainwreck? Oh, you tried it, honey. Oh, okay. Have you ever tried shoving a firecracker up your butthole? That's exciting, too. At this point, the bouncer at Uncle Ike's is pushing me onto the street. But I got my weed, and I didn't even have to pay for it. It's called the old switcheroo. I even grabbed a 20 out of the tip jar. Yeah. Before they could figure out what happened, I made my way to the bus stop. Gotta grab the 48. And that same fucking bus driver's there. That same motherfucker. What the fuck? Did he switch buses? So I get on the bus with a motherfucker that likes to stop when he sees a girl he likes, which means he's stopping every fucking block. Yeah. Why'd you have to stop, buddy? Anyways, I get off at the Blakely stop. It's not far from what's called the Trenchley Community Center. The Trenchley Community Center was created during the Clinton administration. It was a completely 100% midnight basketball center. Midnight basketball. One of the greatest ideas ever developed by any administration, really, when you think about it. It keeps people off the streets. It keeps people away from drugs and cocaine. So I get off near the Trenchley Center. There's two or three bodies left over from the night before. Basketball's getting tougher. One of my listeners emailed me today, and I won't say more than that. I'm always happy to get a question, and I thought it was a really good question because, you know what? It's fair to ask tough questions, and when it comes to issues of liberty and freedom, you know, we got to keep it real. Now, I've said this in the past, and so to that listener, this will help as background, but if you haven't heard it before, I've said this in the past. I am an anarchist, but I'm also basically kind of a realist. I'm an idealist and a realist, okay? That's who I am. I try to live the life I can live in the situation I find myself in, you know, on the Death Star. And what is the meaning of being an anarchist on the Death Star? I really don't know, folks. There may be no meaning at all. But I can say this, I still have the choice to not participate, okay? There's a ritual, it's called voting. And there are some people who would like to make it illegal to not vote. You know how it's illegal to not report yourself to the census, which, oh, by the way, yeah, I think the last time I told, yeah, the whole thing to fuck off. In fact, I think I told the census guy to fuck off in 2010, as I recall. So anywho, I was one of those inference people that Obama inferenced. He called me a Mexican woman. I turned into a Mexican woman because I didn't, you know, whatever, but I don't give a fuck, okay? The point is, I meditate on this question of what it means to be an anarchist sometimes because you could say, well, Dan, if you really can't live in a free world, then why not just give in? Well, that's still a choice. I don't have to give in. I know I could be more successful. I know that I could make more money. I know there are ways in which I could participate and live a better life and maybe not be super rich, but I could probably get rich if I was willing to. The problem is I don't want to do the things that would allow that. I don't want to participate in the things that enable that. And even if it means I'm on the losing side of history, I would rather lose. So let that be the background to this conversation. Okay, that I would rather lose. If your question is, Dan, is it okay to lose? I've been losing my whole fucking life, people. I have turned losing into an art form. I have turned mediocrity into ballet. So please, don't tell me about losing. I'm okay with losing. Here is a question from the email I'm going to take as is. And I quote, "Free will is the ability to choose between different possible courses of action unimpeded." Well, here's the deal. I don't have the free will to be 25 years old, okay? And to have a six pack and to weigh 180 pounds and, you know, to be super sexy. And I don't have the free will to do that. So if the basic question is my free will limited by the fact that I exist in reality? Well, yes, it is. It's absolutely limited and constrained. Now, let me expand upon this, because the basic point of the listener's email, and it was a good question, was we live in these controlled societies, these societies where just about everybody you know might be a spy, might be an operative, might inadvertently be working for the state, essentially. The whole thing is just a big fucking, you know, eight-dimensional Potemkin cube of bullshit. And ergo, you know, where's your choice? If it's all controlled, if it's all given to you in a basic way, if you have no way to disambiguate and your choices are simply a push-button result, then where's your freedom, Dan? And this is basically the question, you know, can you be an anarchist in a prison? Because I've called the situation that this listener describes in the past, I've described it as a prison, but I've also described it as a puzzle box or a maze. But let's think of it as a puzzle box, okay? Think of it as a puzzle box, and there are lights and there are buttons, and if you push the right combination of buttons, you get a fucking, you know, a nice little meal ticket. If you push the wrong combination, then something bad happens. And you get a shock. And it might not be that simple, but if you look at how life is in America these days, it's not that far off. There are ways in which they want you to behave. And one of the ways in which they want you to behave is to have a fucking smartphone. Listen, believe it or not, if you're not constantly looking at your fucking smartphone these days, you get looks from people, believe it or not. It's like, you know, who's this person? Why didn't you get the memo? A pod was supposed to be delivered to your home last night so it could symbiotically bond with your brain and then replace you at breakfast. You fuck. That was in the memo. Is my freedom limited in the real world? Well, that absolutely is. Okay, and you know, I'm a Christian, so I can tell you that not only is my freedom limited, but at any time, if God wanted to, God could take it away. But if you take this out of the religious context and just think in terms of science, my freedom is absolutely constrained by physical reality. There are things I physically can do, and there are things I physically cannot do. Now, is the fact that I physically cannot do certain things, is that in fact a limit on my freedom? I don't really think so. I mean, if I was crazy, I could try to become an NBA basketball player. I mean, sure, I'm 50 years old. My heart and lungs are probably in terrible fucking shape. But maybe I could be a professional NBA basketball player. Maybe I could train for a few years, and then maybe when I'm 56, I'll be ready to try out for the NBA. And I'll go up and I'll say, listen, give me a chance. Give me a chance, Mr. Man. Give me a chance to shine. Don't we live in a world where boys can be girls and girls can be boys? Why can't Uncle Dan play basketball? In fact, that'll be the name of the movie. Why can't Uncle Dan play basketball? Because he can't. Okay? I'm never going to be an NBA basketball player. If there was some tiny likelihood that I could be, I still wouldn't do that. Now, does that mean I have no freedom? Absolutely, all of the stuff I do online is monitored. And guess what? Because they control the architecture, because they're the ones that license the chip manufacturers, there's no way to get rid of it. I don't care if you run Linux or not. Unless you're manufacturing your own chipset on your phone, your own chipset for your CPU, for your computer, unless you're doing all of that yourself, then you have no fucking clue what's on there. and it is hardwired, and it is irrelevant what operating system you run. They know what you do. They know what you say. You should at least accept this. Yes, we live in a kind of totalitarian society. Oh, newsflash. Life on the Death Star is controlled. I wonder why. I mean, think about what the Death Star is. It's a big killing machine. Just about anybody would want to control that, right? So of course our lives are controlled. Of course we're manipulated. Of course we're basically slotted. And if the question is there free will in a prison? Well, up until the moment that they take away my last little spark of consciousness, my defiant answer is yes. Because until they take away the last spark of consciousness I have, I will still choose to say, you know what? Yeah, I gotta eat the Gumbus cube. Okay, I've gotta ride on the Functus train. I have to take a job working at Willy Wonka's every once in a while, even though it tears the ass out of me. But I also can still think the way I want to think about it. I can also still realize that the whole thing's a fucking joke as far as I'm concerned. I don't have to take it seriously. I don't have to respect it. In fact, I have zero respect for it. But and that's the thing, I still have a choice about how I feel about it. Now, you could say, well, what kind of freedom is that? It's not a lot of freedom, folks. If the basic question from my listener is, how much physical degrees of freedom do we have left as Americans? Like, how much freedom do you really have left as an American to just go do what you want to do? Well, the answer is not a lot. And that's not a recent innovation, it's been a process. I mean, some people say it started with the Federal Reserve Act and the IRS. The IRS is highly invasive, okay? Dear listener, you want to talk about invasive fucking bullshit? Research the fucking IRS. I can almost be sold on the idea that if you want to have shared services, you've got to pay for them as a group. Fine. But why the fuck does the IRS need to know how I make my money? Because it's one thing to say, we need some of your money for the school. It's another thing to say, how do you make your money for the school? Yeah, that's kind of bullshit. That's when all of a sudden the IRS becomes a police force. And there is nothing in the Constitution or in British common law that allows a tax agent to be a cop. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Nada. So, yeah. Is it the case that my life is highly controlled and highly limited? Is it the case that I'm a rat in a maze with buttons and lights? Is it the case that probably most of the people I know are so deeply existentially, morally, psychologically abused by the system that they would do whatever it tells them, including turning on people they love? Is it the case that I have no privacy? And that even freedom of speech is almost gone. Listen, folks, I'm surprised I haven't been kicked off of SoundCloud yet, like I've said. I mean, I do pay for the account, so I suppose that makes a difference. But they're probably doing whatever they can or have to do, as far as the stuff, you know, the whole shadow banning bullshit, who knows? I've seen a lot of weird behaviors on SoundCloud in recent weeks, and it leads me to believe that, yeah, they do what they gotta do. And guess what? That's life. And does that mean I have zero free will? Listen, I still have my free will. The question is, do I have the will to do what I want in every situation? And the answer is maybe. With respect to living life on my own terms, I'm doing that, buddy. And so in that sense, I still have my free will. With respect to speaking my mind, well, to the extent that anyone can hear me, I'm doing that too, friend. I'm exercising my free will by speaking my fucking mind, and who knows, maybe a few people listen, maybe a few people don't. But I do not define my free will in terms of things that I could never do, that could never happen. I will not, by thinking about it, change the political structure of the world. And at this point, I think we're talking about imperial collapse scenarios. And it's not just about the United States, folks. It's the whole fucking shebang. It's this entire fucking bullshit lie we've been told for 100 years that everybody can have it all. I hate to break it to you, but if you define free will as you can have it all, you're a fucking idiot. Free will is not having it all. In fact, free will is knowing that you're never going to have it all, so be careful about what you're going to have. Next topic. I went to see Dr. Grunkus this week. If you don't know who Dr. Grunkus is, let me remind you that Dr. Grunkus is a primary care professional in Little Saigon. I started seeing him a year ago. I saw him about my hemorrhoids, my sciatica, the various nodules and growths that would appear. I saw him about it all. I saw him about all the problems with the body, the mind, fluids, the precious fluids of the body. Dr. Grunkus has helped me with a lot. So I went to see him this last week. Now, if you don't know who Dr. Grunkus is, Dr. Grunkus is a doctor that received his license and his education from a country that was basically an island country in a giant lake in the mouth of a volcano. And so essentially when this volcano, you know, exploded or whatever in 1960, blot the blot, it swallowed the entire island nation. The entire island nation was consumed by the volcano, and now there's nothing there but a big, you know, nothing. And so Dr. Grunkus has a hard time getting recertified. You know, when he tells this story, a lot of the people on the quote-unquote, the medical professional boards, they don't really, you know, understand his story. Dr. Grunkus will only see you at midnight on Thursday night. Dr. Grunkus will only see you under candlelight. Dr. Grunkus will only perform surgery while drunk. So yeah, I went to see him. And I told him, Dr. Grunkus, I'm having problems with my feet. I have these terrible, terrible growths on my feet. I think they're fungal growths. I think they're fungal. They could be candida. I'm worried that I may have Candida Surprise. Candida Surprise is going around. See, Candida is everywhere. It's a fungus that is everywhere. But Candida Surprise, that ain't no stripper name. Dr. Grunkus took me to the back of the alley. Crazy Maria was already there. Crazy Maria's a hooker. One of his number one clients. She's always getting treatments. She was already there sitting on the fucking mattress in the rain. And Dr. Grunkus was there sitting on his fucking, you know, fucking milk cart. Milk fucking plastic fucking cart. fucking box. He's sitting there with the fucking plywood and the candle and the needles and the fucking spoon. He'd been shooting up. And I worry sometimes about him shooting up before he gives you a treatment. I think to myself, is this healthy for a professional medical person to shoot up heroin or probably crocodile before giving you medical treatment? It's unlikely that that is a good course of action. But Dr. Grunkus believes it's about strength and will. The will to overcome the bullshit of existence. The will to eat whatever protein gathers by the sewer. The will to live beyond the Delta Wing Excelsior limitations of city life. Dr. Grunkus believes in being beyond normal. He believes in being abnormal. You know what I mean, buddy? So he takes a look at my feet. He takes a metal rod, and he takes some scrapings from the bottom of my feet. He looks at them in the candlelight. He pours some liquid onto them, and some smoke appears. And then he goes, a hoo a hum, a hum a hoo. I now understand, Daniel, what your problem is. Daniel, you have a problem with your gumptic zone. Have you been consuming only food from Chevron gas station? What, you told me you'd only eat at Chevron, Dan. Oh, you've been going to get, like, green vegetables and growing things, healthy things, things that were once alive, and you're eating that? Daniel, I put you on the Chevron diet for a reason. Only by consuming those things that have been in a can for 6 months, maybe a year, only by consuming those dead things that have congealed into nitrates and polysorbates and all sorts of hadrozac, long chain molecular structures of benzene, mercury, zinc, lead, cobalt. I told you, Dan, only eat food from Chevron, but instead you got yourself, what, healthy green vegetables? Don't you realize that your body's not prepared for that, Dan? Those vegetables are now laying eggs of hope inside of you. And from that hope will spring the eternal sadness of every forgotten dream. Every forgotten dream. So I said, Dr. Grunkus, I understand. I'm a fuckhead. I understand I fucked up. I tried to keep to the regimen. I tried to only consume fluoridated water, only to drink Rainier beer, only to consume the best marijuana from Uncle Ike's that one can afford on a budget. I promised to only eat food from Chevron and only if it came out of a can. And I failed. I got some lettuce and tomatoes and carrots, and I made a fresh green salad the other day. Blue cheese dressing. And it was as if the dark clouds opened up and I saw a glimmer of light. I looked out into the daytime, and instead of it being darkness, it was now something different, something wonderful. I had another salad for dinner, and then all of a sudden, I felt like updating my resume. Holy shit, thoughts inside of me were going wondrously, wondrously towards this idea of maybe, you know, paying off my debt and buying a home and moving into some nice neighborhood in Seattle. fallen in love with some woman between the ages of 35 and 45 that totally votes Democrat and totally likes it up the butt. All those things appeared to me after the second salad. And then Dr. Grunkus shook his head. Daniel, this is much worse than I realized. You see, your body was transitioning towards what's called the inert state. I had you on the perfect diet if you'd reached harmonic balance with all the poisons in the world. If you'd reached perfect harmonic balance with toxicity, you'd been able to achieve eighth level understanding. And after that, you could have, like, consumed, you know, fiberglass, lead, raw uranium, all kinds of nasty ass shit, and you could have lived that way, Dan. But now, you fucked up, buddy. You screwed up, pal. And this is going to take something extreme. Did you know that your spleen, other than probably being important to your immune system, other than probably being critical to the production of white blood cells from what I've read in the past, did you know your spleen also contains a chemical called pivari? Pivari is produced by your spleen after you turn 21. Pivari is produced every time you have a drink of whiskey. You get a little pivari. Pivari will collect in your body over time. It'll turn your skin a light brown. You'll start wearing a navy blue jacket with an ascot because you're suffering from pivari sickness. Daniel, you have to undergo what's called a transplendectomus, which involves removing 28 livers from 30 rats, because a couple always die in the procedure and you have to try again, right? And we shove these livers into a plastic container, and we shove that plastic container into your spleen, and then we sew it up with fishing line. The good stuff, Dan. The good stuff. We got the good stuff, you know, from Harbor Freight. 20-pound test. It's a procedure that takes several hours, but we can start right now. If we start right now, Dan, we'll be done by 4 a.m. You'll be finished. By 4 a.m., you will be ready to go back to the Chevron diet. Of course, I'll recommend a week or two of relaxation to get over your pivari-related problems. So we did it. I had the transplendectomus procedure with the tubes and the metal objects and the chisels and the saws, and there wasn't really any anesthetic, but he had tequila. And I got really wasted on tequila, and he shoved his honey knife into my gut, and a whole bunch of nasty purple and green shit shot out, and I'm feeling better. Now, do I think there's any connection between my feeling better and Dr. Grunkus? Well, of course I do. You may not be aware of this, but every once in a while I get a check from Dr. Grunkus, because I advertise him on the Little Saigon Report. And so, you know, this hour of the Little Saigon Report is brought to you by Dr. Grunkus and Associates of Little Saigon. They have revolutionized what's referred to as family medicine. They serve an underserved population of ne'er-do-wells and layabouts and hobos and hookers. Dr. Grunkus and Associates of Little Saigon have been in business for many years. They can perform any kind of surgery for $50. They will perform a Filipino exorcism for $25. And they will perform fellatio for $100. Can you imagine your health care costing only a few pennies a day? Can you imagine your health care taking you from sick to healthy? Can you imagine never standing in line? Because listen, there's not much of a line in that alley at midnight on Thursday, other than crazy Maria and me. Other than a couple other freaks and Gronkus lords from Third Avenue. Other than the Hoods and the Hamlets, the gangsters and the Chud. Other than them, there ain't nothing in that alley for you, baby, but Dr. Grunkus. For those of you that listen to my podcast and enjoy it, if you actually enjoy it, that's great. I am so happy for you. If you don't enjoy it and you're listening to this, it means you're probably not very smart. Because intelligent people stop doing shit they don't like as quickly as they're aware of it. For example, let's say I had a hot poker and I'd already, you know, touched my skin with it, so I know it hurts. Bow wow. Do I keep doing it over and over and over again? Well, it depends, but the answer is probably no. And so, if you've reached this point, then you understand that maybe you enjoy it. And if you enjoy it and you have money, and if you have money and you've taken care of all the things you need to take care of, including friends and family, pets and other creatures that congregate in your attic or your basement. If you've already taken out that hit on your ex-boyfriend or girlfriend, you paid the hitman, that's taken care of. If you purchased that flamethrower from the Boring Company already, oh, that was a great purchase, that's done. You've already made up all your Christmas Molotov cocktails and you've set all your Christmas punji sticks, and you still have money left over. Then there will be a link to Venmo in the description of this podcast. And there's a link to Venmo on the homepage of my SoundCloud channel. Feel free to donate, man, as much or as little as you're capable of. Like I said, you know, if you got the money and you can afford it, great. If you can't, that's okay. If all you can do is recommend the show to other people you think who might like it, that'd be okay too. And until you hear from me again, Merry Festivus, Merry Holidays, Happy Christmas, and a joyful Hanukkah or whatever, you know, Klimbo, what is it? Mogwai, Mogwai. Zydeco. Kwanzaa. Happy Zydeco and happy Kwanzaa. Wasn't Kwanzaa something that somebody came up with that was total bullshit? But then again, isn't everything total bullshit, probably? So happy Zydeco, happy Mogwai, merry Kwanzaa. Have a great evening, you fuck.